Ruth chapter number 1. The book of Ruth. As I was meditating upon what we would want to share today, the Lord took me to the book of Ruth. And this book is, most of you know what the book of Ruth talks about. And it's just amazing. Some amazing story that the Lord has put up there for us to learn from the book of Ruth. And I just want to go through it. I just want us to read the first few verses, and then we'll be able to hear what the Spirit of the Lord has spoken to us. And some of you who may not have your Bibles, we'll read. Can we read the first about 10 verses? This is a scripture that is well known by most of you. Now the Bible says, and if you can hold your children on your seats, and so that we'll be able to go through the word of the Lord briefly here. The Bible says that during the time of the judges, there was a famine in the land. A man left Bethlehem in Judah with his wife and his two sons to live in the land of Moab for a while. Give me up to verse number 10. The man's name was Elimelech, and his wife's name was Naomi. The name of his two sons were Mahlon and Chilion. And in another translation, it calls him Kilion. And there were Ephrathites from Bethlehem in Judah. They entered the land of Moab and settled there. Verse number 3. Naomi's husband Elimelech died, and she was left with her two sons. Her sons took Moabite women as their wives. One was named Orpah, and the second was named Ruth. After they lived in Moab about 10 years, both Mahlon and Chilion also died. And Naomi was left without her two children and without her husband. She and her daughters-in-law prepared to leave the land of Moab because she had heard in Moab that the Lord had paid attention to his people's need by providing food. Verse number 7. She left the place where she had been living, accompanied by her two daughters-in-law, and traveled along the road leading back to the land of Judah. Verse number 8. She said to them, "Each of you go back to your mother's home. May the Lord show faithful love to you as you have shown the dead and to me." And then verse 9. "May the Lord enable each of you to find security in the house of your new husband." She kissed them, and they wept loudly. Verse number 10. "No," they said to her, "we will go with you to your people." Can we go to verse number 11, please? But Naomi replied, "Return home, my daughters. Why do you want to go with me? Am I able to have any more sons who could become your husband?" Let's jump to verse number 13. "Would you be willing to wait for them to grow up? Would you restrain yourselves from remarrying?" "No, my daughters. My life is much too bitter for you to share." I would like you to note that. "My life is too much bitter for you to share because the Lord's hand has turned against me." Verse number 14. Again, they wept loudly at her mother-in-law, but Ruth clung to her. 15. Naomi said, "Look, your sister-in-law has gone back to her people, to her God. Follow your sister." 16. And the Bible says, "But Ruth replied, 'Do not persuade me to leave you or to go back and to not follow you. For wherever you go, I will go. And wherever you live, I will live. Your people will be my people, and your God will be my God." And as you continue reading this story, you see Ruth explaining to her mother-in-law Naomi, saying, May the Lord deal with me severely, even if in death I will be separated with you. Praise the Lord. Heavenly Father, we want to thank you. We want to bless you. We thank you, Heavenly Father. We commit this portion of the scripture. As we delve into it this morning, I pray that you shall speak to our spirits in the name of Jesus. Father God, may you inspire my mouth, may you inspire my mind, that I may communicate this word the way you put it in my spirit. Father, I call for attentiveness, and that no mind will wander around, and we shall place ourselves in the place of the Bible characters that we are just about even to see and to check out this morning. Thank you, Holy Spirit of the living God. May you lead and guide us in your perfect will. In Jesus' precious name we pray. Amen. Now, the story about Ruth and Naomi is a story that is well known by most of us. And I don't know how many of you read this story and you are left wondering, how could somebody like this woman called Naomi, how could she have gone through what she did and still kept her composure, even as a mother-in-law? But there are several things that we can learn out of this story. The number one thing that we really need to understand before we can even apply this word upon us is to understand the context of this word. That they had to sojourn. And by the way, this story has a lot of relevance to most of us, because most of us sojourned from our place that we called home to another place that we now called home, even though this may not really be the place of your birth. There was hunger in Bethlehem of Judah. And Elimelech, who is, as we read, as the husband to Naomi, made a decision, just as many husbands would decide for their families. He made a decision to take Naomi and her two sons to a place where they would improve their lives. And that's what also happened to most people. You decided to go to American embassies, not because things were working out well wherever you are, but you decided to go to the American embassy and seek a visa so that you'd come to a country called America that you may improve your life. Some of us, if we were to give stories of what we were going through before we were even given a visa, is this a story that is stale, a story that you would not have the pride of giving to anybody. Amen. Some of you, maybe you were vendors in markets, if you're like me. The moments before I came to America, I was vending pineapples in the streets. Most of our church members here know of the story where I was selling pineapples and selling it out. And so I was tired of that life and I had to seek for a better life. Went to the American embassy, was never given a visa, but finally the Lord worked out and I have found myself. That's why I'm standing here in front of you. And I thank God for the opportunities that the Lord opens up for each one of us. It tells me that from the moment of birth, just as we have dedicated these children, God has a perfect plan for each and every person. Amen? It doesn't matter what people called you. It doesn't matter where you come from. It could be maybe your parents were drunkards. It could be maybe they never had an education, or it could be that they never gave you never gave you the life that you intended. But God has every time a wonderful and perfect plan for each and every human being. Somebody might be a drunkard today, and when you look at them, it seems like they don't have any sense of direction. Now, the fact that they are drunkards and they sleep under trenches doesn't mean that God doesn't love them. And it doesn't negate the fact that God thinks about them. As a matter of fact, God operates, as we were learning the other day in Bible study, He operates still under grace for such people. Such people like Paul of Tarsus, who persecuted Christians and he went about killing other people. When men and women looked at Paul, no one would think that Paul had a destiny. But one time, as he was in the business of killing Christians and terrorizing them, the Lord of hosts met Paul on his way to Damascus. And most of you know exactly what happened to Paul. He was converted. And today we read of great letters that Paul wrote as he was persecuted in dungeons and in prison, in inner cells where he suffered. But still, he stood for the faith. Praise be to God. I don't know where what you've been going through. I don't know what you feel in your heart. I don't know. You've been trying to do this thing, and you've been trying to do the thing, and all seems to not work. I'm the one person who is going to encourage you this morning. It is not over until God says it is over. Amen. Just the other day, I was sent a WhatsApp, and I think, I don't know, I forwarded this to my, I don't know who I forwarded it to, but it was a lion leopard caught, you saw that WhatsApp, is a leopard that was caught by, a leopard that caught an antelope. And, you know, it was almost over. I mean, you know, when an antelope has been caught by a lion, you don't expect that antelope to come out of that place alive. And out of nowhere, a hyena comes running just because a leopard had caught this antelope. And I didn't know that leopards, by the way, leopards were scared of hyenas, because immediately the hyena showed up, the leopard fled away. And the hyena was like, oh, I got the meal, I got the dinner. But let me tell you, when the hyena started chasing the leopard again, I saw the antelope wake up and run to its life. It was just faking its death. And I said, it is not over until God says it is over. I don't know what situations you are going through, my brother or my sister, but I feel to communicate to somebody to tell them, it is not over until God says it is over. Men, your friends, your circle of friends may have discouraged you. They may even have signed a death certificate for you, or just dismissed as a nobody, a loser. You may even have heard people calling you a loser. But until God says so, it is not so. Amen. Praise the Lord. And I'm just explaining, saying that Elimelech, he saw that there was famine in the land, and he chose to take his wife Naomi and to a land called Moab, where there was plenty of food. And now they get into this place, and they're trying to settle, and everything seems to be working. But suddenly, out of nowhere, the Bible does not tell us why Naomi's husband passed on. But she loses her husband, and she is now a widow. And I know, like most of us, because she's human like I am, she must have gone through times of mourning her husband. The sons must have spent time mourning for their beloved husband. This husband who made a decision for them to come to this foreign land, in the land of plenty, now it's no more. And Naomi is left to fend for his two sons. And now, as they're getting on in life, because, you know, husband, the fact that the husband is dead doesn't mean that life is over. They have to keep on moving on. And the Bible tells us that the sons, the sons of Naomi and Elimelech, Mahlon and the other name, Shilonik, they found some Moabite women and they married them. Praise the Lord. And then they leave. The Bible says that after 10 years, the sons of Naomi fell sick and they died. And I said, Lord, this is a tragedy. I have witnessed people who have come into this country who have lost their beloved. And then we have to go and make some funeral arrangements so that they can ship the body at home, so that the people back at home can be able to bury their loved ones. And this is usually a not easy time whatsoever for people who have lost their loved one. It must have been so tormenting even to this woman. But there's something that comes out of Naomi, that Naomi's faith was grounded well enough. Amen? Naomi had a relationship with God. Naomi had something so special as a woman in her. We don't see her yelling. We don't see any scripture talking about her being so, you know, with outburst of anger. But what we see in Naomi is some pleasant character. Praise the Lord. After 10 years, she loses her two sons, and now she is left. She is left with her daughters-in-law. Praise the Lord. Now, most of you know that, I don't know why it happens, but the relationship between people and their mother-in-laws is not always, how can I say, it is not always perfect. And I think the reason is, when a mother-in-law comes somewhere, he expects, you know, if, for example, it's like my mother coming to visit me, for example, she expects maybe my wife to treat me the way she treated me. And so there might be some tension between, there is no tension between, actually they love each other, but I'm saying there's usually tension between daughters-in-law and mothers-in-law. Hallelujah, somebody. Okay, I know maybe that always happens in some people that I know, but there is usually tension because the mother would expect, you know, maybe the way that wife cooks for you, or you can even hear your mother, oh, you're not cutting the sukuma wiki the way I used to cut for Tony. You're not even cooking these chapatis the way I used to cook for him. And the woman might say, excuse me, I've been with this man for this long and you've not been here. And he has been enjoying my food. No, all of a sudden, I've not been cut sukuma wiki the way they are supposed to be cut. There's food of there being tension between women and their mothers-in-law. But I say, I declare that in this house, that is not going to be the portion of this house. Amen? All daughters-in-law are going to love their mothers-in-law, the Lord. Amen? And all the mothers-in-law are going to cherish their daughters-in-law. This is exactly what happened. Oh my goodness, I'm having so much feedback here, Sister Lorraine. Stop moving around. Switch with this one. And so Naomi is experiencing turmoil in her heart. She actually expresses it. If you read in verse number 13, this where she says, you're not bitter than I am. I have lost my husband already. I have mourned him. I now have lost my two sons. And what has become of me? In fact, she says that the hand, the right hand of the Lord looks like is up against me. It is like everything is not well. But in spite of the things that Naomi went through, she still held her composure. Praise the Lord. And I was asking God, how many times do we go through turmoil? How many times do we encounter a discouragement? How many times do we encounter impediment? And we look and it seems like the world has crumbled against us. And we throw in the towel and we say that it is over. How many times do we experience even heartaches whereby we have lost our loved ones? Or we are going through some financial difficulty? Or our marriage is not even working? Or something somewhere is not working out. It could be a business that is going south, or threats from a place of work whereby we are threatened to be fired, and suddenly it looks like everything is coming against us and we fail to complete our composure in Christ. I'm here to encourage you that God is not an absentee God. God is always aware of the stuff that you're going through. Praise the Lord. I believe that Naomi referred her story back to her forefathers. And she experienced and she read about men who went through hard times, but God still came through for them. And she said that even though I'm going through a tough time right now, I know my ending is going to be better because God is on my side. Praise be to God. Hallelujah. Do not throw in the towel when things are so tight and when things seem like to crumble against you, when nobody seems to care, when you receive no other phone call from a friend to encourage you, and all the phone calls you receive is maybe people wanting for you to pay up their money, your house receiving letters, maybe your house being on foreclosure. I've been in times like that where everything seemed to crumble against me. I'll never forget the year 2012. I think every month of that year, I paid my bills late. My house was almost foreclosed. Bank of America saw me as a cow to milk because of the late fees that I had to pay and bouncing checks. You know, and things seemed to crumble against me. My business seems to go south. No matter how I tried, everything seems to crumble. We even had disagreements with my wife over simple grocery bills that she had to go to Walmart to buy. I had to tell her, please return some of these groceries because I can't afford to buy these groceries at this time. I better pay the light bill. I don't know how many of you could be in such a position. But you know what? every year is never 2012. 2012 came and has gone. And I welcome 2013. And I've been here 2014. I saw 2015. It's never been different. But what I had to encounter was almost incomprehensible. I mean, I wish I can just narrate it the way it was, because I wanted to buy some clothes for my children, and literally there was no money, you know. And things were so hard, so tight. But I remember every moment when we were going through difficult times, my wife would come and we would hold our hands and we would still pray to the God of heaven. Amen. You are still here and I'm still here. I don't know whether this is your 2012. I don't know whether you have experienced 2012 in your life. It may not be financial. It could be sickness. It could be maybe your marriage not working. It could be a disease and sickness that is impounded and crept throughout your family. It could be maybe a career that is not working out. I am here to encourage you. There is going to be a day when God comes and takes and overturns everything. Praise the Lord. The only thing that thing will happen, the only ending product will, I mean, how God will sustain you is if you put and trust Him, even in the midst of difficult situations. Job, in the same position. Remember the story of Job? Job went through difficult situation. He had sores throughout his body. Praise the Lord. He was sick and suffered greatly. And the devil just asked for permission to go and torment his body. And God gave him permission to go and torment his body. But the fact that the devil got permission to go and torment Job's body doesn't mean that God also left him. But God has never been an absentee God in our lives. God was here, there with him, even as he was going through trouble. And the trouble was so intense that his wife told him, you know what you need to do. I can't just behold my husband, my lover, and my beloved husband going through this torture with the soles over his body. And Mrs. Job told this man who loved God and in whom there was no blame, he told Job, why don't you curse God and you will die and you will escape this suffering? And Job tells his wife, why do you speak like a foolish woman? Why are we going to always expect good things and not bad things from the Lord? And Job had questions to the Lord. Why have you let me suffer this way? And the Lord also had a conversation, a very intense conversation with Job. But at the end of the day, Job was blessed and received double for his trouble. Amen? Why? Because he stayed consistent and put in the relationship with God. Hallelujah. The key thing, my beloved friends, it is staying put in the midst of calamities, in the midst of challenges that come and meet with us. Because as long as we are on this planet, we are going to encounter challenges. Praise the Lord. We are going to encounter challenges. But the key thing, are you going to stand on the call that you first believed in God? Are you going to stand on your faith? Are you going to just believe God in spite of the things that are happening around you? Because that is the key thing that God wants for us to experience. That we are going to stand our ground in spite of the things that we go through. Naomi and her daughters, it comes to a time where Naomi feels like, I was asking God, was she motivated to go back to Bethlehem because of the provision that has started to work out in Bethlehem? But I also felt the Spirit of God telling me, Pastor Chi, that she had this quest to meet with the other relatives. Remember, these two girls, Orpah and Ruth, were her relatives by means of being married to her sons. And now they are gone. And a time comes when she decides to make a long journey. By the way, from where they were to Bethlehem of Judah was a long journey. And I just saw this woman coming so selflessly to her two daughters. And she tells them, a time has come for me to leave this, your country, and I have to go back to my country. Yet I feel in my heart that I cannot go with you because you're still young. You know, Naomi would have said this. You know what? I'm so angry. You must come with me. You must provide for me. Now I don't have anybody to provide for me. But this is what Naomi did. Naomi spoke to her two daughters and told her that, you know what? In spite of the pain that I have, I'm still thinking better things about you. You still have an opportunity to go out there and get married. You still have an opportunity to go get yourself a husband. For I am old and I cannot even get a husband. I cannot even if I get a husband, I cannot get sons who can grow up to be married to you. Orpah cried loudly. They all cried loudly. Why? Because they loved Naomi. And Naomi speaks to Orpah and he speaks to Ruth and he tells them, I am so grateful to you because you have shown me kindness and you have shown kindness to the dead. Now, I want you to know that the husbands had already died and they are with Naomi. But they're crying out that you have shown kindness to me. These girls were, why were these two girls kind to their mother-in-law? I believe there was something that they saw in Naomi, a godly character that attracted them to her. Amen? Can we be men and women of character in the places of where we work, whereby many will be drawn to us by what we stand for? Amen? If I am to visit your place of work today and ask, you know, without your knowledge, how do you rate this brother so-and-so? What is the testimony they can give about you? What is the testimony they can give about that sister? Can they seriously say that I have witnessed and I have observed this brother, this man? There's something special that separates him from other men. And there's character. He is a man of integrity. He is always early to work. He doesn't even speak anything against other people. He has a godly character. I've read of people who actually attracted people and made them come to the Lord by the way they lived. The Bible calls us epistles. Amen? An epistle is a letter. We are all, if we have believe in God, we are letters. And as we walk, people are reading us. Amen? People are reading us. People are reading the words that come out of our mouth. Huh? I told you one time a story of a place I went. And I was in a place and there was this sound of a brother, and I knew this was the sound of this brother. I knew him. I'm not, you know, he's a brother, but he was on the other. It was a place like a store, and I was on one corner, but there was a separation whereby the person on the other side, you know, you would not see each other. But when I heard the voice, I is that so and so? But let me tell you, the things that person was talking about, I said, no, that must be a counterfeit. Must be somebody who is speaking like that person. And I let them speak, and they were speaking, and they were speaking. At one moment, I said, no, I cannot hold this anymore. And I had to go to the other room, and when they saw me, they said, oh, Pastor, brother, Sifuwe. And I said, oh, you're here? Oh, praise the Lord. And we went with the conversation, and I said, God, how many times do we find ourselves in a corner like that whereby you think nobody is there? Oh, sorry. You think nobody is there. But you know what? Christ is always present. He is looking at us even in dark corners where you feel, when you think nobody is seeing you. And these guys was going, ah, blah, 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 speaking, actually was speaking in my mother language. By the way, you know where he comes from now. Huh? And the things that were coming, I could not even believe it. And you know what? I had to take upon myself to go and pray for that brother, that God changes them. I did not embarrass them, but I knew the best thing for me to do was to go and pray for them. The least places where you might think that nobody's going to be there, Christ is going to be there. You know, think about this, my brothers and sisters. Think about this, that every word we utter out of our mouth shall come before the judgment seat of our God. Yeah? Think about this. The Bible says that we ought to love one another. In the city of Antioch, men, Christian believers, loved each other until other non-believers knew that these were Christians. Why? Because of the way they loved one another. Because of the way they take one over one another. Nowadays, it's not very common to see people who are like that, like in the city of Antioch. I wish there could be a way people in Dallas, you know, people can speak well of the city of Dallas, whereby, oh, brothers love one another. They take care of each other. You know? But it is not easy, really quite hard to find somebody who comes and says, oh, praise the Lord, everything. How are you doing, my brother? You know, how is everything going? But the moment they leave you, they have a knife trying to backstab you. Oh, unaona huyu jamaa. Ajifanyaga mwangalie. Eh? Shetani ni jirani yake. You know, may the Lord help us. So that even when I'm not with you, or when you're not with my brother, you are well able to speak well of your brother. The Bible talks of love covers a multitude of sins. Amen? None of us here is perfect. Okay, let me talk to this side, half of this side, because they seem like to believe me. None of us is perfect. Are you guys ready to believe this? None of us is. We all have weaknesses. If today God would give me an ability to see the heart of each and every one of us, and you also given an opportunity to see that my heart or the hearts of one another, you'd say, oh no, you're more than me. Because we have many weaknesses. We have many faults. Are you listening to me? And God has called us to cover each and every, to cover one another. If you find I have a weakness, don't go telling other people about my weakness. Come and cover me. Don't make me look bad to other people. You know, there are other people who are specialists. They are like specialists. Have you talked to a company and you say, I want to talk to a specialist? They are like specialists. Specialists of talking, making other people look bad. It is wrong. We are supposed to take care of each other. Am I speaking to somebody? Do you know of somebody who is a specialist of making people look bad? They're always speaking about other. The moment you meet with these people, you are even wondering, okay, God, I see this person is coming. I don't know what time, how many minutes we're going to spend with them, because I know the moment they open up their mouth, it's just like, you know, you don't like it. But when was the last time you met a brother and they told you about God? You know, God has been so good to me. He has encouraged me. I went to this place and I was praying and the Lord spoke to me. When was the last time you experienced something like that? Chances are when you meet somebody who will tell you, okay, well, which business are you doing right now? Not bad. You know? What are you doing right now? Oh, have you heard of Sister So-and-so? With an intention. Oh, by the way, we need to pray for Brother So-and-so because of I overheard that they were moving with Sister So-and-so. We need to pray for that brother. What business do you have? You know, don't share. Don't tell them out. Go to God because he's the one who has the solution to help that brother. You think if you're a brother and you're telling another brother about it, you are safe yourself? The Bible says even those who are strong, to be careful because they can stumble. When you're strong, you're so weak. We are called to cover. I'm not saying that we condone the sins of one another. No. But I'm saying let us take care of each other. If we spend time praying for each other more than we speak about other people, this world will be a better place. I am telling you the truth. Because God will listen to that prayer and he will send help to go and deliver that brother. Send help to go and deliver that sister. Somebody say amen. Hallelujah. And when they looked at Naomi, there was more to her being a mother-in-law. They saw the character. And that's why they were wailing. They could not believe that they were being separated. And Orpah said, okay, I will go. I don't have any alternative. Ruth says something in verse number 10. That where you will go, woman of God, I will go. Because I have seen the character. I have seen the torment you have gone after losing our father-in-law. I have seen the torment you went through after losing our husbands. But you have held your composure. Glory to God. I don't think that Ruth looked at Naomi and said, you know, you are my mother-in-law, I need to help you. There is a long journey. You are an elderly woman, and I know that the journey from Moab even to the city of Bethlehem is a long time, and you need a help. I believe there was something more than that. Where she said, may God deal with me severely. Even if in death I will be separated from you. What was this that was in Naomi that when Ruth looked at, she said, I want what you have. Glory be to Jesus. God has called us to be ambassadors. Ambassadors for Christ. We are going to impact our generation. We shall be men and women who impact the people that we work with. So that when they may not be believers, but when they know that you are godly, they will seek to know your God. In Moab, they never worshipped God. The real God, our God, Yahweh. They never worshipped these women that were married to these two sons of this woman, worshipped other gods. But when Ruth looked at this woman, she saw a belief that she had never witnessed in Moab. And she said, you know what? Where you will go, I will go. Your people shall be my people. Where you lay down, I will lay down. In fact, she spoke something, a statement that sometimes you would put in, you'd not even reckon the importance of it. She said, and your God. Oh my God. And your God shall be. In other words, I am putting away all other these Sanamu gods that I used to worship. But I have seen you serve the Lord in spite of a torment, in spite of discouragement, in times of calamity that hit you. You have composed your character. And Naomi impacted the life of Ruth. Let me tell you, the moment she said that, it is like tables switched over. And now, in the book of the second chapter of Ruth, the Bible doesn't even talk much about Naomi, but it talks about this character that has been impacted. Praise the Lord. They begin to speak about how Ruth went sojourned and never left her mother. She said, every word that you speak to me, I will do. And Ruth goes out to, you know the story. She goes out to kufanya kireyo. I don't know how you call it in Swahili. You know, to do, what do you call it? Kireyo. You know, kireyo, for those who may not really understand, is when people are harvesting, you can allow other people to come behind you and pick up any maize that has been left. Now, in the tradition of the Israelites, this is what it meant, that you'd allow strangers. I looked at that and I said, God, my God, please speak to me about this. You can allow strangers and orphans to come after you have harvested. Perchance there will be a grain that has been left by your harvesters so that they can pick it and make it for food. How many times have you allowed people to do kereyo on you? You know, you may not have a shamba. You may not have a maize plantation. But God is calling us to allow some widows and some strangers to do some kereyo on us. How much money do you earn, by the way? How much favor has God given you? And when somebody comes in and knocks on your door, we are sincerely saying, oh, God for us all, but, God for us all, but each one for? No. Listen, church, you are supposed to leave some room, leave some kereyo, some maize around so that people can come and do some kereyo. Somebody say kereyo. This side say kereyo. Allow some strangers and orphans to come and do some kereyos. Are you listening to me? God leads her to see how God, let me tell you, these people were having torments in Moab, but God orchestrates divine undertakings. There are certain things that you do in your life, you do them and you don't know that God is behind pushing things around the corner. There are things that God will do and you wonder, why did God do certain things in my life? All things work together for good for those that believe the Lord and according to his purpose. Hallelujah. God will orchestrate your life. I am saying again, God will orchestrate your life. God will order your steps. Hallelujah. God will say it is time to move from point A and go to point B because he has a plan for you to do in point B. And God miraculously opens and Ruth asks her mother, can I go now doing, I think the word in English of kireyo. Huh? Gleaning. Oh my goodness. Okay, gleaning. So, she asks Naomi, can I go out gleaning? And she says, go. May the Lord give you favor to the person where you're going to glean. And guess what? I'm trying to summarize this story. She goes into a field of a godly man. His name is Boaz. Thank you. You know the story. And she's gleaning. She's doing kireyu. Now, in those days, they had somebody they called a guardian redeemer. A guardian redeemer in those days is somebody who had an obligation to come and rescue a family member in serious problems. Amen? In other words, people were connected. It is not like today, if your brother is suffering, unasema, siende alifanya hiyo maneno, wacha apitie. They never said things like that. They were together. Somebody say together. They were together. In other words, if anything happened to them, there was somebody called a guardian redeemer. And here, Mr. Boaz stood as in a position of a guardian redeemer to Naomi and Ruth. And she didn't know whose field she was going into. Somebody say divine connection. God has orchestrated and lined up things for you. As long as you're in God and you're in good relationship, vertical relationship is good, you don't have to worry. Because God is lining up your divine connections for you. There is a Boaz for you. Oh my God. I am here to announce to this side that there is a Boaz lined up for you. And God will lead you to a place and you will realize, oh God, how did I find myself here? Only time will tell, because God is orchestrating a Boaz to be linked up with you. And when you connect up with your Boaz, things are not going to be the same again. Oh Jesus. She goes and she gleans, and Boaz shows up and he says, oh, who's that woman? I've never seen her among my laborers. And the harvesters tell him, oh, this is a woman who came with your relative Naomi, and she has done wonderful things. She's taken care of Naomi. She goes and God speaks to Boaz. And this is extraordinary. Goes to a foreigner, and Ruth finds favor before Boaz. And she goes and Naomi is directing her. She says, you think you could have landed in another field of another merciless master, but you landed in a godly man. Anyway, eventually, the story ends up that the tradition of the day was like any redeemer, guardian redeemer. If there was a relative who was dead, they would buy the land, the piece of land, so that the heritage of the dead people would be continued. And so Ruth presented herself to Boaz, even though she was young. But she was cute and she was attractive. She presented her to Boaz. And according to the tradition, she was betrothed to Boaz as a wife. Now, Boaz was a rich man. Somebody say rich man. Mm-hmm. He was a rich man. Held everything together. If you asked Ruth and Naomi, while they were coming, sojourning all the way from Moab, that things would turn out this way, she would say, not in my lifetime. There are things that God has lined up for you in 2 years. In 1 year, some of you are looking at me right now and you're not in disbelief. But listen to me, child of God. God has lined up some things in about a year, 6 months from now, that when God tells you and shows you a panoramic view of where you're going to end up, you'll not even believe it. Because God has lined up some Boazes in your life. Are you listening to me? He is orchestrating things behind. Let me tell you, things right now may not be making sense, but keep on moving. I am hurting, but I'm still loving my God. I am distraught, but I'm still loving my God. Going through high water, but I'm still believing in this God. I am tormented, but I will never quit. Hallelujah. I am being surrounded by hurricanes and tornadoes all through my life. But when I remember about this God, I can never desert him. Stay in God. That is the key. Stay in God. Somebody say, stay in God. Stay in God. Come on, say louder. Stay in God. When you stay in God, God is going to line up things for you that when God opens up your mind, you'll never imagine. Glory to Jesus. I tell you what, man, this guy came together with Ruth as his wife. Man, I couldn't even believe this. They bore a son called Obed. Obed was their son. And if you read Obed, Obed was the son, was the father of Jesse. Huh? And Jesse was the father of David. And David was the father of the great, 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 great grandfather of our Savior. Think about this. From a woman who did not even know God, worshipping other gods, linked up with a godly woman, changed her life, followed her. My God, opened up doors for her. If God can do that to a pagan, think what he can do for you as a child of God. I said, God, if you can do this for Naomi, you can do it for me. If you can do it for Ruth, you can do it for me. She was a woman, a pagan god, worshipped other gods, didn't even know how to God, just connected up with somebody who was well grounded, had a relationship with God, and her life was turned around. My God, if God can do that to a woman like that, she will do it for you. Are you listening to me? There's a Boaz in the line, along the line for you, waiting. As long as you stay put, as long as you don't quit this God, as long as you don't, you maintain a relationship, do what you're supposed to do. I know times have been hard, but stay put. Eventually, things are going to turn around. Let me tell you, many people, and I'm closing right now, many times we lose our miracles and we lose our destinies because at the nick of time, you know, they say that dawn is darkest, I mean, just before sunrise comes. That small portion of the night is dark, is the most darkest part of the night. You know? And that is the place where God is just about to spring forth your light. And that is the most place where the devil would want to discourage you and make you quit. Therefore, people have quit at their 11th hour when God is just about to break camp and say, now I'm here. I'm taking over. But we give up. When God shows up, Jamali potelea mbali tu ali throw in the towel. Don't throw in the towel. Even when times are hard. I know it is easily said than done, but stay put. God will never bring a trial that is so hard to fail and fail to cause a way of escape for you. Are you listening to me? So no matter what you're going through, no matter what the devil is speaking to you, let us stay put. Serving God. Amen. Living a holy life. Don't forget about people that you've heard who say, oh, we are anasemani muokovu, we anasemani mukristo. No, forget about those stories. It is you. Pursue righteousness. Let us pursue holiness and serve God. Pursue holiness and serve God. Pursue holiness and serve God. Pursue holiness and serve. Say it aloud. Pursue holiness and serve God. Say it. Pursue holiness again. Say it louder. Say it louder. Man, I tell you, if you take those two things, that is key. It will propel you to places you've never gone. Pursue holiness and serve God in spite of everything that is around us. Let us stand up on our feet in the name of Jesus. Hallelujah. God is so good. Our Heavenly Father, we are thankful. Thank you, Lord, even for opening up these doors for us to come into this house that is called by your name. I pray for every brother, every sister, every child in this house. I pray that you shall direct their lives. Father God, may you knock on the doors of their heart. Make them know that you are in charge and cause them to give you the lordship of their hearts. Because when you take over, you are able to lead us into paths of righteousness. I thank you, Heavenly Father. No matter the challenges that we face, we are going to pursue holiness and serve you in the name of Jesus. And Father, going forward, for anybody that is not pursuing righteousness, we ask that you may help us to pursue righteousness. That we may serve you, Lord. We may serve you by picking up the phone and encouraging somebody. We may serve you by not backbiting on each other, by not killing each other, trampling on each other, Lord. We will serve you, Lord, by telling about your greatness, serving you by living a life that is worthy our call in the name of Jesus. I pray that we shall be committed to the congregations where we come, that we'll find something to do in the house of the Lord in the name of Jesus. We are not going to neglect the house of the Lord. For when we do so, it is the beginning of failure. I pray that we shall be connected to the house of God. Yes, and serve the Lord through the ministries the Lord has placed in our lives. In the name of Jesus. I declare a blessing over each and every one of us who came here today. In the name of Jesus. I pray that you shall open up a great avenue for them. Open up doors and cause them to see them. Because sometimes doors are open and we fail to see. Open up their eyes as to see those open doors. doors of opportunities in the name of Jesus. Lord, I come against every strong man that is destined to come and destabilize the life of each of any one of us in the name of Jesus. I come against him right now. Any strong man right now, I come against you in the name of Jesus. Hands off from the children of God. Hands off from the children of God in the name of Jesus. Lord Jesus, I pray that you shall give them clarity. Clarity in things that they are supposed to do. Clarity in the call of ministry in the name of Jesus. Lead and guide each and every one of them. Cause them to be model Christians. I mean believers. Who are going to model not only for other believers, but for their families and children in the name of Jesus. I thank you for each one of them. Lord, this week is going to be a great week for each one of them. There are going to be doors of opportunities. There are going to be avenues opened up just for them. Let them walk on streets that are filled with favor in the name of Jesus. Line up divine connections. Somebody who is wanting to start a business, line up a connection for them in the name of Jesus. Let there be a Boaz for each one of them. The glory and honor of your name. We give you praise. We give you glory and honor. In Jesus' precious name we pray. You might be here, never given your life to Jesus. I'd like to give you this opportunity. You know, to receive Jesus is very easy. The Bible says that he will knock at the door of your heart. If only you can accept him, you know, and believe in him, then you're righteous. And if you can confess with your mouth, then you're saved. That's what the Bible tells us. Is there anybody who wants to receive Jesus? Lift up your hand and I'm going to lead you to the Lord. Anyone? Anyone who wants to receive Jesus? Hallelujah. Thank you, Heavenly Father. May the Lord God bless each one of them. May you continually lead them into paths of righteousness. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Hallelujah. May the Lord God bless each one of you. For those to whom this is the first time for them to being in our church, we want to welcome you. Feel at home. This is the house of your Father, so don't feel like you're in a strange place. The people that you have that are here are your friends. Amen. And you know you are in the right place. Praise the Lord. And you're going to be blessed in the presence of the Lord. We want to go directly. Today is going to be a family Sunday. So for you parents who have little kids, please let them sit beside you so that they can be calm. We're going to be done quickly and so that we can enjoy in the presence of the Lord. Praise God. So I'm going to invite, welcome the parents of whose children are going to be dedicated. You know them yourselves, the parents and all your friends that you've invited that you want to be part of this children dedication service. Please, I'd like you to make your way here. And I'm talking about Sam and Fine. And we also have William and Sister Betty. We have Brother Ambrose. And we have Hannah. And we have Monica. And we have Steve. Please make up your way here. This is a very, very special day for each one of them. And we want to make it special because this is a day that they will live to remember. Two of the couples that are coming here, it's even a greater special day for them, for this is their first child and they're dedicating their babies to the house of the Lord. Amen. Praise the Lord. Praise God. And I'm also going to ask Pastor Julius, my wife, please come over here. Pastor Francis, please come and help around here. Pastor Chi, please make your way, come and help up here. Amen. Just come over here. And if there are people that you've invited, can they also come? They can also come. You know, if you've invited your friends, they can also come and, you know, to be with you. They can be behind you. Let the parents be on the front. I know we have very little space here, but I hope, you know, we can all fit. Amen. Praise God. I think it is okay. You can stay on the aisle there, and the Lord is still going to bless you because we don't have a lot of space up here. Now, before we begin, before we dedicate the children this morning, we'd like, first of all, to pay our attention to the word of the Lord. In our church, we believe in dedicating the children to the Lord. There's nowhere in the Old Testament or in the New Testament where children were baptized, but they were dedicated to the Lord. I'm reminded of one child that was dedicated unto the Lord, and you're very familiar with that child, and his name is Samuel. Samuel's mother was Hannah, and at one point, Hannah didn't have a child, and she cried out to the Lord, and the Lord was merciful to her and opened up her womb, and the Lord blessed Hannah with a child. And as Hannah was blessed with that child, she brought the house back to the house of the Lord and dedicated that child into the house of the Lord. Amen. And Hannah said, you know, you gave me this child, and since you gave me a child when I didn't have one, I will dedicate this child back to you. And it is important. This is the first step. Amen. This is the first step. This most important step that you have ever, the most important decision that you can ever make as a parent is to dedicate your children to the house of the Lord. Amen. You giving them back to the Lord. And after we have done that, you know, subsequently, we'll be training them up in the ways of the Lord. And how do we train up children in the ways of the Lord? Children learn by seeing us, by experiencing us, by us setting an example. It is unfortunate in a well-developed country like this one, you know, parents are so busy and we are all very busy, and it is not unfamiliar to find that most children, we don't even have an opportunity to spend time with our children. Most of the times we spend work and providing for our families. But, you know, the first responsibility, I believe, that God has given a parent is to bring up children in the ways of the Lord. Amen? It is our primary responsibility. Sometimes we send our children to school with the hope that, you know, the teachers and the school system will bring up our children. But I've always been, you know, reminding the parents here in this church that you need to be aware of stuff that is taught up in our children. I mean, in our schools. You know, this bad stuff that is taught in our schools. And if we are going to just send our children to our schools, hoping that, you know, when they come back home, all is well. Let me tell you, we need to spend time before they go to bed and remove stuff, some of the stuff that has been put in their lives. Amen. There is now the things like homosexuality that is being introduced in our schools. This paganism that is being preached in schools in America. All kinds of stuff. And as Christian parents, we really need to take responsibility to know that it is our first and primary responsibility to bring up children in the ways of the Lord. Amen. When we bring our children to Sunday school, we only spend about maybe 30 minutes with them. And so that is not enough. And I would encourage each and every family to set up a family altar whereby you can read the word of the Lord and explain the word of the Lord to them in their level. You'd be amazed how children, you know, grab truths and how well they are able to follow the system that you set upon them. Amen? No one will ever come and do it for you. Not your parents, not their grandmother or their grandpapa, but it is us. Praise the Lord. Are we all together? The Bible says in the book of Deuteronomy, chapter number 6, verse number 4 to 7, listen, O Israel, the Lord is our God, the Lord is one. You must love the Lord your God with the whole of your mind, with your whole being, and all your strength. These words I'm commanding you today and must be kept in mind. And you must teach them to your children. Amen. We must teach them to who? To our children. And speak of them as you sit in your house. Amen. This is straight admonition from the word of the Lord. And sit as you sit in your house. And as you walk along the road. as you lie down, as you get up. I love what the Bible says in the book of Proverbs, that we train up our children in the ways of the Lord. And when they grow up, those children will never depart from the truths. Amen? It is little bit by little bit. Don't neglect that very important thing. You've done the most important thing to bring your children so that we may dedicate them to the Lord. Now comes the second part of the responsibility, training them up in the ways of the Lord. Amen? Hallelujah. We want to now dedicate these children to the Lord. And what we normally do here, after we dedicate them, we usually give them a child dedication certificate that will be a reminder, even as this child grows up, that they were dedicated into the house of the Lord. Amen. We want to start to dedicate baby Christian Karanja Kifuri. Amen. Now, you need to know that this is a miracle baby. Amen. Hallelujah. Just hand over baby. And by the way, you got a very beautiful name, Christian. Wow. Pray for baby Christian. Are you doing okay? Say hallelujah. All right, stretch forth your hands towards baby Christian. Dedicate him towards to the Lord. Our Heavenly Father, we are thankful for baby Christian Karanja. Lift him up to you, O God Almighty. And I thank you, Father, because this couple trusted you for a baby when they didn't have one, O Lord. And like Hannah of old, you are so merciful to them. And you gave them baby Karanja. Most of us remember when Karanja was born, he was so little and so fragile that he could not even be held. But Lord, look, behold the beauty of the Lord. That this baby has grown up, Lord, in stature. That this baby has grown up in wisdom. That this baby has grown up, Lord, and becoming handsome and handsome by the day. What can we say other than to rejoice in your greatness? What can we say other than to rejoice in your mercy? Thank you, Heavenly Father. And just as you gave them this baby, Father, we want to dedicate him to you. That Karanja, Lord, will live all the days of his life serving you. The Lord, all his paths will be lined up and ordered of you in the name of Jesus Christ. As we dedicate him today, Father, we come against every plan of the enemy. We declare that the enemy will never get hold of him because he will be hid in the blood of Jesus. There will be a hedge of protection as he grows in the name of Jesus. His mind will be protected of you. I declare this young man will preach the word and he will give a story of when he was born, that he was so little and look, behold, he can preach the good news. Father, this young man will be a testament to many. He will be a witness of Christ, O Lord, should you tarry, in the name of Jesus. And now, Father God, I thank you because this baby will never lack. Oh God, this baby will have an amplitude to understand the word of God. Let the revelation knowledge in the word of God be his portion in the name of Jesus. When age comes, finds him to go to school, we declare that he'll be an intelligent boy. He'll have an amplitude to understand lessons in the name of Jesus. He will never struggle in school in the name of Jesus. You give him favor with his teachers. Give him favor with his professors in college. Give him even a wonderful future family in the name of Jesus. Father, we thank you for this baby. He is right now dedicated to you. He has to serve all the days of his life in the name of Jesus. And now as a church, we want to dedicate baby Christian Karanja Kifuri even to the to you, O Lord, in the name of the Father, in the name of the Son, and in the name of the Holy Ghost. We dedicate you right now to the Lord. In Jesus' name we pray. While we're on that, we want to pray for Monica and we want to pray for Steve. Pray that you shall provide for this couple. Let them grow up in the nourishment of the word of God. They will never lack material stuff to provide for baby Christian. You'll always give them some finances to provide for him. Money to go to school. Money to buy food. Money to give him, to clothe him. In the name of Jesus, I pray that you give them rich counsel, even to know how to train him up in the way of the Lord. In the name of Jesus, may you help them, O Father. Give them the wisdom and the knowledge to the glory and honor of your name. In Jesus' precious name we pray. Amen. All of us say amen. Amen. I appreciate the Lord. And now, Mr. Handsome, you're dedicated to the Lord. In Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Hallelujah. And now I'm going to call Pastor Julius to come and dedicate the next baby. And before he does that, I'm going to present them with a certificate. Where are you, Daddy? And so, as the pastor of Empowerment Christian Center, I want to hand over this certificate that certifies that he was dedicated today in the house of the Lord. Amen? Praise the Lord. Glory to God. All right. The next baby to be dedicated is baby Jake Mushene Mushiri. Praise the Lord. Where are you? Hallelujah. Man, you know this baby. Every time I look at this boy, he is so cute. How many parents have young girls? Pastor Julius, come over here. Amen. Please, can you stretch forth your hands towards baby Jake, even as we dedicate him to the Lord?
Stretch your hands. Let's pray for baby Jake. Our Father in heaven, we want to thank you for baby Jake. We want to thank you for so far that, Lord, you've brought him. We want to thank you because, God, we see favor in him. We want to thank you because, God, we see your blessing upon him. We want to thank you because, God, we see greatness in this young man. We see you directing these men to levels that, Lord, we cannot even imagine. We thank you because, God, you're opening opportunities for him, oh God, that we cannot even fathom. Yes. We are praying that, God, favor will be his portion. Yes. We are praying for good health, oh God. Yes. We are praying for intelligence. We are praying for knowledge. We are praying for wisdom, oh God. Yes. We are praying that, Lord Jesus Christ, you may walk with him all the days of his life. Yes. That, Lord, he will not part from your ways, oh God. Yes. We are praying for a heart that seeks. And that, God, he will always be seeking after you, oh God. Yes, I'm praying for a creative mind, oh God. Yes. That, Lord, he will be creative in all his ways, oh God. Yes. Above everything else, oh God, I'm praying that, Lord Jesus Christ, even in his littleness right now, oh God, that you will give him plans, oh God, plans to do things, plans to do great things, yes, plans to create, plans to even go beyond what even human mind can even think or imagine, oh God. Yes, we thank you that, Lord Jesus Christ, you've watched with him, oh God. You've watched over him, oh God. Yes. We want to thank you for his parents, oh God. We want to pray for Ambrose. We want to pray for Hannah. We want to pray that, Lord Jesus Christ, you may continue watching over them and protecting them, oh God. We know them as godly parents, oh God, who stand by their children. We are praying that, Lord Jesus Christ, even as they nurture and guide these children, oh God, they shall grow in stature. Jake will grow in stature and in health, oh God, and in favor with you, oh God. I am praying that, Lord, you may continue blessing them, oh God, and bringing them closer together, even as they raise Jake, Father. Praying that, Lord Jesus Christ, you may give them opportunities to create wealth. I am praying that, Lord Jesus Christ, you may give, yes, them plans, oh God, to sustain that wealth, oh God. Yes. And I'm praying that above everything else, oh God, that Jake will get an inheritance from his parents, oh, yes, God. I am praying for favor, abundant favor, oh Lord, from everybody, oh God, from his relatives, from his friends, oh God. Lord, I'm praying that, Lord, you may overshadow him with your blessings, oh God. Wheresoever he goes, oh God, wheresoever the parents will be, oh God, I am praying for abundant favor in the name of Jesus Christ. We want to thank you, Lord, that, Lord Jesus Christ, there are people today, oh God, who are thinking and even this moment focusing, oh God, upon the dedication of this baby. And so, Lord Jesus Christ, we just want to bring this baby back to you like Hannah did. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Yes, and so, Jake, we want to dedicate you to God in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen.
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 Amen. Hallelujah. Amen. Amen. And so I'll also hand over a certificate to them. I'll hand over this certificate to Daddy and Mommy, certifying that baby Jake was dedicated in the house of the Lord today. Amen. May God bless you. Amen. Next in line, baby Michaela Mudhoni Kanyi. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Wow.
Praise the Lord.
You know, I'm a father of boys, so I gotta take this very carefully, because you never know, she might be my relative, my daughter-in-law in the future. Joshi, okay, stretch forth your hands. Stretch forth your hands towards baby Michaela. Mighty and everlasting Father, it is a joy, Lord, even to hold baby Michaela. Lord, when Will and Betty got married, they trusted you for a baby, and you gave them this baby, beautiful baby, Lord. Lord, we want to lift her up, Lord, to you. We pray that you shall direct her life. In the name of Jesus, I declare that her steps will be ordered of the Lord. That any path that she takes in life, it shall be directed by thee, O God. In the name of Jesus. Lord, I put aside any distractors in the name of the Lord. Any plans of the enemy against baby Michaela, be defeated now. Now and in the future. In the name of Jesus. We declare that baby Michaela will be protected by you. There will be a hedge of protection round about her. Sickness and disease will never be her portion. She will lead a perfect life in the name of Jesus. She'll be a young woman of influence, influencing her generation. She'll be called a bright child in her school. Her school district will know her because of her aptitude to catch stuff. In the name of Jesus, we declare that, my God, teachers will like her, professors will like her. Wherever she goes to work, people will like her. In the name of Jesus. And should you tarry, Lord, we pray that you will be a preacher of the gospel in the name of the Lord. I pray that there will be an environment in their home where she will be nurtured by the word of the Lord, where revelation knowledge will be her portion in the name of Jesus. You will direct her life in the name of Jesus. We plead the blood of Jesus Christ over everything that she does in the name of the Lord. I thank you because sickness and disease will never be her portion in the name of Jesus. You will give her an acute mind, a sharp mind to understand stuff in the name of Jesus. Father, as we dedicate her today, we meet her parents, Lord, to you. You'll give them strength and knowledge of how to nurture her up in the ways of the Lord. I pray that the word of the Lord will be her portion. In the name of Jesus, I pray that even in their busy schedule, they'll have time to share the word of the Lord, to have family fellowship, oh God. Jesus. And Father God, will bring Michaela to the house of the Lord. She will learn the word of the Lord in Sunday school. Once this word settles in her heart, she will never deviate from it in the name of Jesus. And now, God, we take this authority that you've given me, even as a minister, Father, to dedicate baby Michaela Kanye, in the name of the Father, and in the name of the Son, and in the name of the Holy Ghost. You are dedicated to the Lord right now, in Jesus' name. Everybody say it, amen. Hallelujah. If you think I'm not telling the truth, just look at that baby. Mwangalieni. Wow. Man, you're blessed. You're really blessed, Willie. Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah. What a beauty. Glory to God. And so, as we usually do, I'm going to hand over a certificate that certifies that baby Michaela was dedicated in the house of the Lord this day. May the Lord bless you. Amen. God bless you. Amen. Hallelujah. Last but not least, we want to dedicate the last bit. We are blessed in Empowerment Christian Center. Praise the Lord. We know there are other babies that are scheduled to come and in the near future, so keep them coming. Hallelujah. Bring baby Julia. Hallelujah. I'm going to ask Pastor Julius, come and we dedicate this baby to the Lord. Oh my goodness. Man, this church gets very beautiful and handsome babies. Okay. I'd like you to stretch forth your hands towards baby Njuguna, David Njuguna Ndungo, as we dedicate him to the Lord. Amen.
Father, in the name of Jesus Christ, we want to thank you for baby Njuguna. We want to thank you that, Lord, your hand is upon him. We want to thank you that, Lord, he can hear your voice. We want to thank you that, Lord Jesus Christ, you have surrounded him, Lord, with a hedge of protection. We want to thank you that, Lord, this child shall not suffer any health issues. We want to thank you because, God, you are, there are angels, the hedge of protection round about him in the name of Jesus Christ. Thank you, Lord, for his call over his life in the name of Jesus Christ. Thank you for that blessing upon him, oh God, in the name of Jesus. We see blessings, oh God, right now surrounding him in Jesus' name. We see ahead, we see knowledge, Lord Jesus Christ, flowing through him in the name of the Lord. We see prosperity, oh God, over him in the name of Jesus Christ. We see holiness, oh God. We see purity, oh God. We see a person of integrity and a person of honor right now in Jesus' name, oh God. We thank you, Lord Jesus Christ, for what whom you have called, oh God. You've called him to greatness, oh God, and we want to thank you. We want to bless you for him, oh God. We want to thank you for his life, oh God. He's going to be the head and not the tail, oh God. He's going to be a creator, oh God. Yes. He's going to be a planner, oh yes. God. He's going to be ahead of his class, oh hallelujah. God. We bless you, we exalt you, Jesus amen. Christ. We look at his future, oh God, and we just see greatness, oh amen. God. We amen. See a person that, Lord Jesus Christ, you've already given him favor in his younghood, oh God, and even to his adulthood, oh God. We bless you, oh God. Amen. We exalt you, Jesus Christ. We thank you for this favor, oh God. That even as it was with David, he will grow with favor, oh God,
yes.
with men and with God. Thank you, Lord Jesus Christ, for his life. We pray for his parents, oh God. We know them as godly parents. Yes. And even as they nurture this young life, oh God, to you. Even as they speak words of hope and words of assurance. Words that, Lord, will direct Njuguna to you, oh God. I am praying that, Lord Jesus Christ, those words, oh God, shall be implanted in his heart, oh God. Yes. And that even as he grows, Lord, he will never depart from them, dear Jesus. I am praying that, Lord, you may continue blessing this family, oh God. Bind them together with cords of love that cannot be broken. Give them words of wisdom, oh God. I am praying that, Lord, you may open opportunities for them, oh God, to create wealth, oh God, for these children and yes. specifically for Njuguna as well, oh God. That, Lord, there will be no lack in any way, form, or manner, oh God, because God, you'll have blessed them, oh God. I am praying that, Lord, just question that when they call upon you, that, Lord, you will answer them speedily, oh God. I am praying that, God, when they cry to you, oh God, that you will hear them, oh God, and that you will visit them, oh God, in a new way, dear Father, Lord Jesus Christ, that these children, oh God, shall never lack in any way, oh God, whether physically or spiritually, oh God, that your presence shall be with this family, oh God, all the days of their lives, oh
yes,
God,
Lord.
That you will continue giving them good health, oh God, hallelujah. In the name of the Lord. We thank you, dear Father. We thank you, dear Jesus Christ. And so, baby Njuguna, now we dedicate you in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit. Amen. Amen. Amen.
Hallelujah. Hallelujah. You look at that baby and you tell me, wow. Huh? Say hallelujah.
Thank you, Pastor.
Praise the Lord. And I would like to finally hand over this certificate to baby David Njuguna Ndongo. That signifies that he was dedicated in the house of God today. Amen. Hallelujah. Now, these families are so blessed. Sammy's family, the grandma is here. And she is really, really blessed. And also, Sister Hannah has her mother here. And what a joy. Even to witness the dedication of their children, of their grandchildren here in this church. So we take also this opportunity to welcome you and to thank you for all those visitors who were able to come. We appreciate you for just honoring the day, and because this is a very special day for each one of them. Praise the Lord. Amen. So we are grateful to the Lord for having protected each one of us. I would like us to briefly go into the word of the Lord.